presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness, Father. We worship you. We magnify you. We praise your holy name. Let's create an atmosphere in this place that the word of God can go forth and be fruitful. Father, we need you in this place. You're so wonderful, God. You're holy. You're wonderful. You're mighty. You're a strong tower. God, you're the great I am. God, you're everything I need, everything I want, everything I desire. I praise you and worship you, magnify you. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercies that are renewed every day. Thank you, Father, for all of the benefits. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, oh God. You're so wonderful. We magnify you. Come on, those that are watching by internet, lift your hands right where you are. Father, we worship you. We praise your holy name. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your love. Thank you for surrounding. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with me all the time, God. Thank you for being in front of me, God. Thank you for being beside me, God. Thank you for being all around me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for LTMA, God. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for our apostle, Father. Thank you for apostolic direction, God. Thank you for your direction, your divine direction, Father. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for giving us eyes that we can see, ears that we can hear, hearts that where we can understand. Creating us a thirst and a hunger for you, God. Thank you for placing that in our lives, Father. I thank you for my sister and my brothers, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you for them. Thank you for this covenant that we have. Thank you for this apostolic house. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I'm so thankful, Jesus, for the price you paid. Thank you for being a Rose of Sharon. Thank you for being a bomb in Gilead. Thank you for being the Prince of Peace. Thank you for being the chief cornerstone. Thank you for being who you are, Jesus. Thank you for becoming flesh and die and take our place in sin. Thank you, O God. We worship you. We magnify you. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for your redemptive plan. Thank you for making me the righteousness of you, God. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you for your sanctification. Oh, you're so wonderful, God. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you, God. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for what you're going to do tonight. Thank you for apostolic leadership, apostolic direction. Thank you for this apostolic house. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can properly escort us in the mind of God. We thank you for what you're going to say and do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Verse 18. I want to read that, and then I'll tell you what we're talking about tonight. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 18, Jesus talking, just had a discussion with some of the disciples. And in verse 18, he said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter." He's changing Simon's name. All right, "thou art Peter. And upon this rock," not Peter being a rock, but it's talking about a process. A process. "Now, upon this process, I will build my church," or build my kingdom. And watch this. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I read that for a reason, because I'm going to start a few verses ahead where Jesus asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And we're going to see something that happened to Simon at the time. Jesus changed his name to Peter. We're going to see something that happened to Peter that has happened to all of us. And but the problem is, we don't fully understand all that has happened to us. All right? And so we need to understand what has happened to us so that we can have verse 18 be fruitful in our lives. And I can take some of the gates of hell is not prevailing against me, right? Can you take some of the gates of hell not prevailing against you? Jesus said, upon this rock is how I'm going to build my church or my kingdom. Or this is how things are going to be established. So two main purposes of the apostolic government of God is to, one, establish God's agenda. That's number one. And these are in chronological order. Number one, to establish God's agenda in the earth realm. Other words, make sure that what God wants to happen in the earth realm happens. Now, we understand that the apostolic, what it does, the apostolic government of God is a heaven to earth government structure that allows the portals of the supernatural to be open so that we here on earth can experience the supernatural. You can go through all the Bible and you can see that the portals of the supernatural were never opened until there was apostolic structure. Every miracle that happened in the Bible happened because of apostolic structure. Now, you don't see the apostolic being talked about too much or being, you don't even find it mentioned at all in the Old Testament. And the reason why it was not mentioned in the Old Testament, because it's lingo, it's terminology. The Old Testament written in Hebrew, the New Testament written in Greek. Just test your biblical knowledge, see if you. So what happens is you have terminologies that are, something is said in the Old Testament and New Testament, but it means the same thing, but it's called different things because of the differences of languages. So what you'll see that Moses, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, David, all of them were operating apostolically. Other words, they were creating heaven to earth government structure so that the portals of the supernatural can be open. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So two things that apostolic does. I said one, it makes sure the purpose is to establish the agenda of God in the earth realm or the kingdom of God or how God wants things done. All right. The second thing it does, it advances the success of kingdom citizens. So we see chronological order. Number one, it establishes what God wants, his agenda. And then number two, it advances the success of kingdom citizens. So everywhere you look in the Bible where you see miracles take place, you see those two things happening. Number one, God's agenda is being established, his kingdom is being established. And number two, it advances the success of those that participate. All right. So here in Matthew, the 16th chapter, we see Jesus asks a question. I think it's the 13th verse. When Jesus came, Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, his followers, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they begin to respond. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, now here's what's important. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now the same process happens to everyone who wants to be apostolically connected, apostolically aligned. God always reveals to you who you're supposed to be connected to. Notice who I said reveals that to you. Okay, God reveals that to you. All right? But we're going to go for it. God reveals it to you. So Peter, by revelation,
I love this. He said, by revelation, I was about, it didn't come because it was a good idea. See, most people in the body of Christ are attracted to their leader because of charisma. Not by covenant connection. So the problem with charisma is charisma deals with emotion. Right? So if I'm attracted to my leader because of their charisma, then what happens when my leader charisma rubs me the wrong way? Am I going to still be convinced that this is my man or woman of God? So it has to be by revelation knowledge. Flesh and blood cannot reveal it to you. Nobody else can convince you to do this. One of the freest places that you will ever be is in the apostolic. In the apostolic government of God is the freest place you'll ever be. That's the place you will experience the most liberty. I know we have our United States of America, a land of the free, home of the brave, democracy, I got my vote and all this kind of good stuff, but just don't pay your taxes. We're going to see how free you're going to be. You're going to see how free you be. Just don't pay them taxes. But in the government of God, in the apostolic, it's always a choice. I highly encourage you to tithe. I highly encourage you to do so, but it's a choice. And see, because you don't make the choice to tithe, don't mean that badness or evil going to creep up on you right away. That's not what Malachi 3 talks says. That's not what it says. It says that when it does come, you can't do nothing about it. Are you seeing this? So everything in an apostolic is about choice. Are you hearing me? If the Bible says in 1 John the 4th chapter that God is what? Love. Romans 5 and 5, we see that the love of God has been shed and brought to our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Right? If there was no choice, love does not exist. That's why God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. So there can be a choice. Because when there's a choice and you're able to make a choice, that shows whether you're in love or you're not in love. See, if the tree of knowledge of good and evil wasn't in the garden, then that means Adam and Eve would have automatically been slaves to God. Because there were no choice. So in the apostolic, there's always a choice. There's never a place where you don't have a choice. All right? But that brings me back to Matthew 16, where by revelation knowledge, by the Spirit of God speaking to Simon, he was able to recognize Jesus just not only as his master or teacher or another prophet, but he saw him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. So that same process happens to us. God reveals to us who we're supposed to be apostolically connected to. He reveals that to us. Nobody can convince us of this. You might get a suggestion, but it has to be God that gives you the fortitude or gives you the courage that this is my man or woman of God. Now watch what Jesus told Simon. We're going to read this again. Watch what Jesus told Simon. He said, blessed, empowered to prosper are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, he changed his name. See, when you recognize who you're supposed to be apostolically connected to, who's your apostle, who is my leader? Who is the person that's helping me? Who is the person that's helping to unlock the destiny that God has planned for me? When I do, when I discover that, listen to me now, I begin to see all those things that become new. In other words, my identity changes. Are you seeing this? So now when my identity changes, see, your identity changed when you got born again. But you will not fully recognize it until you get connected to the person that unlocked your destiny. So when you begin to recognize that your identity has changed, all things have become new. I have a new path that I'm walking. The destiny that I had set, or that Satan had set for me, is no longer plausible, is no longer possible, is no longer definite for me. I have a new way to walk, a new way to talk, a new way to live. Are you seeing this? Watch this. And thou art Peter, he changed his name. And upon this process, upon this rock, upon this foundation, what foundation? The foundation of we allowing God to reveal to us who we're connected to. Upon this process, upon this rock is how I'm going to build my church, build my kingdom. All right. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now watch this. Verse 19. Very important word. And I will. I will. Will means something happens in the future. Something happens in the future. Another key word I want you to see, which is, I just said it, which is, and I will give unto you the keys, plural. I will give unto you the keys, plural. It's not just one key. I will give you the keys. How am I going to get the keys? When I recognize who I'm apostolically connected to. When I recognize who I'm apostolic connected to, my future has already been defined because there's some keys waiting on me in the future. Because I recognize who I'm connected to. Are you seeing this? So that means a lot, there's a connotation that we have all the keys right now. You don't have all the keys right now. You don't have all the keys that unlocks everything, that every door that you're going to come to. Because you hadn't got to that particular door yet. But you don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to have the keys. I don't have to worry about facing the locked door. All I need to be concerned about is, am I understanding who I'm connected to? Because when I understand my connection, I will always have access to keys. Let's define keys. What keys do? Keys unlock. Keys give us access to things that other people can't have access to. Or keys could be a combination. Could be, nowadays we got where you can have biometric using your fingerprint that would give you access to certain places. You got biometric locks where you put your fingerprint on the door, on the lock, and it opens. You got all sorts of different locks, but they're keys. They give you access. Other words, Jesus said, I will give you the keys, right? Yeah. Give you the keys, meaning I'm always going to give you access to where you're supposed to be as long as you're connected. I will. That word will, again, it gives a connotation of future. So that means I don't have to worry about if I have keys now. All I need to know, all I have to be, I don't have to be concerned about, am I going to have keys in the future? Only thing I need to focus on is, am I apostolically, have flesh and blood revealed to me, or has the kingdom of, or has God himself revealed to me who's my man or woman of God? See, those that choose their leader based on charisma and based on what makes them feel good are being led by flesh and blood. It's a good idea. I see all these people going over there, so that must be where I'm supposed to go. You know, or I see all this happening over there. Maybe I should go there. Or is it through revelation knowledge? See, this is important because without understanding apostolic connection, you can't get keys. You can't get translation for keys, divine instructions. So, in other words, Jesus saying, thou art Peter, and upon this process, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, or how the kingdom works. I will give them to you, of heaven and earth. Now watch this. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever is bound in heaven and loosed on earth is not just based on what you say. It's based on what you say when you're connected. Oh, I got proof for you. The seven sons of Sceva said the exact same thing. They call the same name of Jesus. But it didn't quite work out the way that they thought they had planned. Because they weren't connected. So you can go to binding whatever you want to bind. You can go to loosing whatever you want to loose. But if you hadn't gone through the process, what's the process? I recognize who I'm connected to apostolically. Once I understand that, then I now walk in an apostolic grace in which I loose what I need to loose and bind what I need to bind. Why? Because I got keys. How I got keys? Because I'm connected. So there's no place I will walk that I will not have clarity. There's no place that I will walk that will continue to be dark. Because I'm apostolically connected. You must recognize your leader as God told you he or she is. In other words, you can't, God did not only just tell Simon who Jesus was. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So now Peter, Simon at the time, name changed to Peter. Peter then recognized, so watch this. So now his whole attitude and how he perceived who was his master, his teacher, he changed how he looked at it. Because now this is the very person, watch this, this is the very person that God has connected me to that will open up the destiny for my future. Are y'all seeing this? You must recognize them by revelation. God has to reveal them to you. You cannot be connected to an apostle or Dr. Thompson or Pastor Thompson of this church because you thought it was a good idea. Because there are times when it's going to seem like it wasn't a good idea. Like 2 weeks ago when he told y'all stop eating meat. So it has to be a God idea for that connection. It cannot be a flesh idea. Because what? Jesus told Peter, he said, I will give you the keys. That means there are some things that Peter knew he needed unlocking. There are some questions that Peter needed answers to. There are some things that you need unlocked. There are some answers that you need to questions that you have. Are you seeing this? Divine instruction or those keys is what binds and loosens. Not just your words. Not just your words. You can go, you know what? Because watch this. When you're apostolically connected, you'll have an understanding of what to bind and what to loose. So you won't walk around trying to bind everything or trying to loose everything. Because there's some things in your life that need to be bound up. There's some things in your life that need to be loosened. When you're apostolically connected, you'll understand what needs to stay bound and what needs to stay loose. Apostolic direction or keys are how we are built. That's how our lives are built. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Three times the Bible said the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, Habakkuk 2 and 4, actually four times. Habakkuk 2 and 4, Romans 1:17, Hebrews 10:38. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So faith, according to Romans 10:17, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Not the logos, but the rhema. Logos is written, rhema is live. Logos is what has been said, rhema is what is being said. So faith comes by keys. What is being said? I will give you the keys. Other words, as long as I'm walking connected, I will always run into keys. For every problem that I face, I will always have a key. Problem or answer. Locked door, key to unlock it. Divine apostolic direction is God's way to accomplish his agenda. See, if I can, one of the things that we must understand is that God's agenda provides for everything that we need. So if we focus on establishing his agenda, I'm automatically going to get everything that I need. If I participate in establishing his agenda, if I'm connected, see, the keys that I get, watch this. Keys that you hear, keys that you see, keys that you grasp from apostle are not always going to pertain directly to your situation. See, that's where we get tripped up at. Because we figure if it don't pertain directly to my situation, that it's not for me to do. Turn with me to John, the second chapter. He said, upon this, going to John 2 and repeat, he said, upon this rock will I build my church. Upon this process, the process of we recognizing who we are connected to. It's not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God. Revealing to us who we connect to. Most of us have done that, right? Most of us have done that. I hope all of us have done this in here. So that should change how you see apostle. Before we go to John 2, go to 1 Corinthians 9. See, do not get connected to apostles' personality. Get connected to his grace. Because like I said, sometimes a personality is going to rub you wrong. Because it ain't what you wanted. 1 Corinthians 9. See, this is why I stressed earlier about this being a choice. The apostolic is always about choice. See, when God reveals something to you, you have a choice at that moment. Am I going to let Am I going to obey and let God be responsible for my future?
Say that. Come on.
Or am I going to ignore his instruction and take the responsibility of my future in my own hand?
Wow.
See, that's the choice. That's the choice you're making. And see, some people are fine with that. Some people are fine with taking their own destiny into their own hands. And when trouble comes up, they can't do nothing about it. 1 Corinthians 9. I won't be long. We are almost finished. I'm serious. We're almost finished. Because when I step up here, I'm always trying to get you to get a deeper understanding of the apostolic. Because the apostolic runs all throughout the Bible. You see that thread running all throughout the Bible. Lot. Lot got in trouble because he didn't understand apostolic structure. He didn't understand that. You'll find throughout the Bible. You'll understand that Samuel went to anoint Saul. Saul tried to do some stuff out of apostolic order. So Samuel was still trying to fend for Saul. And God say, Samuel, why you keep bothering with Saul? I have rejected him. So Saul, you look at Samuel saw firsthand how somebody who does not stay connected and don't make the right choices. See, if Saul would have, I don't have time to read the story. If Saul would have stayed connected, he would never had to worry about trying to offer those burnt offerings.
Come on, sir.
Because Jesus said, I will give you the keys.
Yeah.
Soon as Samuel would have got there, he'd have got the keys.
Right.
So all he had to focus on was staying connected. But because Samuel, because Samuel didn't show up when he wanted him to show up. Or because Apostle didn't say what you wanted to say. Is this making sense? 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthians, and obviously they had some people that had begun to doubt whether or not God had connected them to the Apostle Paul. So what Satan does, Apostle Thompson is teaching in the training center now on the spirit of truth and error. And he was saying how we have to judge every thought that comes to our mind, because if we let a thought that looks like truth but is actually error linger in our mind, it will start growing roots and begin to branch out and cause and affects our behavior toward the very thing God has told us to do.
Yes,
so obviously some thoughts and some ideas have been floating around, and Paul had to address them. And watch what Paul said. I want you to see this very question. Paul said, am I not an apostle? First of all, you know, Paul was just saying, look, I know I'm an apostle. I walk in his office. All right, now watch what he goes on to further say, which is more important. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? All right, now watch this, verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal or the grace of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. See, other words, this is a choice. This is something this is not a group choice. This is an individual choice. Sometimes the choice has to be made within households. But it's your choice. When God has revealed to you your connection, you have to make up in your mind that I'm not going to let anybody take me off of this course. Are you seeing this? Because why? There are some keys that I'm going to need access to. There's some keys that you're going to need access to that you don't know that you need right now. God knows this. So because God knows this, God said, upon this rock, upon this process is how I will build my church. The process of them staying connected, ready to receive keys to unlock doors that I bring them to in the future. Are y'all seeing this? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Are you seeing this? Not of evil, but of peace. This is my favorite part of the scripture. To give you an expected end. There's a place that God expects you to be. So just like there's a place God expects you to be, there is another place that you can't exist. Are y'all seeing this? So the Apostle Paul is saying, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. I give you a prime example. Peter, a lot of people look at that scripture where Peter and Paul had the so-called conflict. And it really wasn't a conflict because if you look at how it was written, it was Peter that went to Paul's apostolic house. And when Peter went to Paul's apostolic house, Peter forgot where he was. And he kept acting like he was in his apostolic house. That deals with honor. All right, that deals with honor. So there are some people that were in Paul's apostolic house that he was connected to Paul that began to look at Peter because they knew Peter and Paul were contemporaries. They were both apostles. So because of Peter's behavior, it start making some of the people in Paul's apostolic house begin to question about their behavior. But one statement that cleared it all up, Paul said, Peter, just like you are called to the Jews, I'm called to the Gentiles. So all Paul was doing was saying, Peter, you're going to have to tone down how you handle things in your apostolic house while you're here because God got me going a certain direction for the Gentiles. And I know God got you going a certain way for the Jews because the Jews had to be approached differently than the Gentiles. So you cannot go along in your life worrying about other apostles. You can't let what another apostle say put in question what your apostle has said, especially when it's lined up with the word of God. Give you an example. Keys, this is important because God is not going to connect you to your man or woman of God and then start speaking everywhere else. When that happens, it causes you to be divided with your focus. Are y'all getting this? So is there anything wrong with other apostolic? No, absolutely not. No, ain't nothing wrong with other apostolic houses. But we shouldn't allow what they're doing, what God is doing with them, affect what God is doing with. I'm happy with what God is doing with them. Just like I'm happy with what God is doing with us. We're on the same team. You will never see a Marine going into the Navy with Marine rules. How many of y'all was in the armed force? I never was, but what I'm told is basic training is a little bit different for each one of them. There are different rules of engagement. So it is dishonor for an Air Force or a Navy shipman to go to a Marine and try to change the way they think. Because they've been trained a certain way to accomplish a certain thing for the same agenda. Is this making sense? Turn with me to John 2. Talking about apostolic keys, apostolic direction. I'm connected by revelation knowledge. I know who I'm connected to by revelation knowledge. One of the things that you can't do that Peter did, I don't have time to get there. You cannot forget who God told you that person was in your life.
That's right.
Jesus, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," right? Remember that, right? A few verses down, Jesus said, "Well, now, since you know who I am, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to give up my body. I'm going to have to die. They're going to come and get me." Peter didn't forget. He said, "Jesus, I rebuke you." See, you can't forget. That's where honor comes in. I must always remind myself of who God said apostle is to me. Because the enemy is always trying to convince you otherwise. John 2.
You have been there. I've been trying to get there. John 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said, turn to the servants and said, "Whatever he said to you, do it." Right? And there was set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And you know that it turned the water, turned into wine. Now, there was a choice. They didn't have to fill the water pots. They didn't have to. It was a choice. But what they wanted? They wanted wine. So here Jesus come in with apostolic direction. They wanted wine. He come in with apostolic direction. So that was a key. Right? So if they wanted the wine, they had to use the key. Oh, let me say it better this way. If they wanted wine, they had to choose to use the key. Because they didn't have to. They could have stayed without wine. But they wanted it, so they chose to use the key. Are y'all getting this? Go with me to, Moses. Go to Exodus 12th chapter. See, it's something about apostolic direction. Something about apostolic direction. It's always a choice. See, without a choice, without having a choice, you're a slave. What's more important, without a choice, you can't walk in love. Now you're a robot. Now you feel like you're forced to do this. See, there always must be a choice. See? So because apostolic, see, sometimes the Holy Spirit spoke to me the other day, and one of the most unrecognizable characteristics of an apostle is the unique ability to look at the written word of God and see God's agenda. The rest of us can read the word of God and get revelation knowledge. But an apostle can look at the word of God and see his agenda. Are you seeing this? See, an apostle can see agenda, therefore can give direction on which way we need to go. Now, we might get revelation knowledge. Oh, I understand this. God, I ain't seen this before. But still, we might not have no direction. Are y'all seeing this? Exodus the 12th chapter. You see in the 12th, put it to me on the screen, Exodus 12, verse 7. Almost finished. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Now, what I didn't get a chance to read to you because I don't have time is it said that God spoke to Moses and Aaron and started giving them these instructions, and this was some of the instructions. Verse 7, "And they shall take of the blood and strike of the blood of the lamb that they kill, take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat." Why do they need to do that? Because God said, "I'm sending a death angel
to take the firstborn of everything in the land of Egypt. Right? Now, once again, there's a choice. There's a choice. They didn't have to put the blood over the doorpost. See, every time we have, remember now, apostolic instructions, the government of God, the purpose is to do two things. One, to establish the agenda of God. We see this, God trying to establish his agenda. What do you want to do? Establish a people of his own kind that can be an example to the rest of the world, all right? The second thing is that it advances the success of the citizens of that kingdom, right? So we know what happened to the children of Israel. The Bible says they went out, there was not one sick among them, there was no feeble among them, and they went out rich, right? But they had a key that they had to use. Because you see in that 20, go to the 21st verse. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Next verse. And ye shall take a bunch of the hyssop, which is like a mop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out the door of this house until this morning, until the morning. This is apostolic instruction. So now the children of Israel have to choose whether they want to use this key or not use this key. If you use the key, God says the death angel is going to pass over. If you don't use the key, the death angel is going to visit your house. Right? So watch this. So now, but it still was a choice. See, the death angel was coming regardless. God, watch this. God had decided the death angel was coming. That's why he decided to provide the key. See, the death angel was already, God had already made his mind up the death angel was coming, but he wanted to protect his people. So in order to protect his people, he sent apostolic instruction. He sent keys that will cause them to unlock the door of protection. Are you seeing this? God needed his people free. He needed his people to be an example to other countries in the world, to other ethnicities, to other groups of people. He wanted his people to be an example. This is how life is supposed to be. I will be your God, you will be my people. This is how we're going to work. Not only that, but God kept giving those Israelite keys. Because now notice this. Notice what I'm asking. I want you to notice, not the origin of the keys, but notice where the key is coming from. The origin of the keys is not where the keys come from. Because to the people, where they got the keys from. But that wasn't the origin of the keys. See, that's what we get tripped up at. See, that's what we get tripped up at, especially in our modern thinking. See, the origin of the keys came from God. God had already made up his mind the death angel was coming. So God said, okay, this is how God processed. The death angel, I got to do something. The death angel coming. So now I must do something so that my people will not be affected by the death angel. See, the Bible says God is not a respecter of person. So in other words, God can't send something into the land. See, that's why you see people go through tragedy different. You'll notice people who are connected properly go through storms different than those who don't. That's reality. I feel bad for Pharaoh. He lost his son. I feel bad for all them. I mean, it didn't have to be that way, but it just so happened that the Israelites had keys that they didn't have. And the keys came through an apostolic leader. Are you understanding this? So we have to understand that when our apostle, and watch this, you have to be keen in the spirit. Because sometimes apostolic instructions are not demands, they're suggestions. For instance, apostle says something and I caught on to it. Caught on to it quick. He said, you know, hey, don't eat meat for 2 weeks. Don't eat meat for 2 weeks. He said, just see how you feel. After 2 weeks, if you don't like it, go back to doing it. When I got home that night, Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, listen and don't eat meat for 2 weeks, because during those 2 weeks, I'm initiating a process of health that will not come no other way. So some of us still hadn't went 2 weeks. Some of us still hadn't gone 2 weeks. But we're going to confess every healing scripture there is. Some of us still haven't gone. Is it too late? No, it ain't too late. You still in this episode? No, it ain't too late. Start tonight. Because there is something when apostolic instruction is given. There, now, mind you, you're also hung up. Lord, I can't eat no meat. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. What can we eat? What? Do you all realize how crazy the instructions were to the children of Israel when a man came to them and told them, kill a lamb, take the blood, and wipe it on your doorpost? Do you know how crazy that sounds? It had never been done before. So I'm closing with this. Here's what you do. I know because of human intelligence or non-intelligence, I know some of them didn't do it. Oh, I know some of them didn't do it. There's no conclusion to find out what happened. You know what happened. We already know what happened. So the Bible didn't need to mention it. Everybody who didn't put blood over the doorpost and the death angel visited their house that night. But the children of Israel had a key that would unlock the door of protection. They had to choose to use the key. Just like they could choose to use the key, they could choose not to use the key. Look, for some of us, there's healing that's being unlocked in the 2 weeks. That will not be unlocked any other way. There are processes. There are things that have been started in our lives that cannot be started any other way. But if you go back and listen to the tape, it seemed like it was a suggestion. Well, just try it. Just try it. Moses called the elders. He said, take your lamb, put it over your doorpost. Don't have to do it, but this is what I'm suggesting you to do. This is what the Lord telling me to do. You're telling you to do. But you don't have to do it, but you can do it. Look at it this way: what is it costing you? What did it cost him to put the blood over the doorpost? If nothing happened, they just had blood over the doorpost. What if they wouldn't have went at the battle where they had fire and all this? What if they wouldn't have went praise the Lord? I mean, you know, the armies would have came against them, but because they did, they followed apostolic. God not only protected them, not only did he, they were just looking for protection. That's all they wanted was protection. God, five armies coming against us, protect us. God not only protected them, but he prospered them. Some of y'all might not have gotten, some of y'all might not have needed no healing in your body for them 2 weeks for not eating meat, but you need money. So God's saying, if you can't follow my man or one of God's instructions for them 2 weeks, I know what you're going to do when you get some money. Is this making sense? See, the reason why I read 1 Corinthians 9 to you is because you have to realize that this is your, that Dr. Thompson is your apostle. I don't care what nobody else says. I don't care if nobody else see it. I don't care if nobody else recognize it. I don't care if nobody recognize the grace on his life. All I know is God told me. And that's all that matters. Everybody else can believe what they want to believe. My neighbor to the left can believe what they want to believe. My neighbor to the right can believe what they want to believe. My neighbor in front of me, my neighbor behind me. They can all leave if they want to. Are you seeing this? And Paul said this. Watch this. Paul said this. The reason why you should know that I'm an apostle to you because of the mere works that's happened in your life. Are you seeing this? So I want you to become more keen, more. Don't just look at apostle as he's given us a good teaching lesson. When he's pronouncing things over us, grab it. Grab it with everything in you. See, listen, let me tell you something. When apostle called that young lady out and said, I'm laying hands on you, whatever you want, whatever you believe in God for, it'll come to pass. When he laid hands on her, he was laying hands on me. That's my sister. We're in the same apostolic house. We're in covenant together. So whatever God pronounced on her, I'm connected to apostle, I'm connected to her. He laying hands on me. I'm not just looking as a bystander saying, God bless that child. No, Lord, bless her and me. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Remember now, the apostolic, watch what the apostolic do. The apostolic is heaven to earth government. You have to understand this. Heaven to earth government structure. In other words, it's simply divine order. Divine order so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened. Without the portals of the supernatural being open, miracles can't take place. Unexplained events can't take place. Things that we need, keys, we won't discover keys that we need in our lives to unlock doors that we're facing. There's no more knocking. Apostle said that to us. There's no more knocking. There's a reason why he said there's no more knocking. Because he's given us keys. That means when you have a key, you don't have to ask the world system for permission for what's behind the door. When you have the key, you walk in because if it wasn't yours, what's behind the door, you shouldn't have gave me a key. If you don't want me to have whatever's behind the door, don't give me a key. Are you seeing this? Lift your hand if you'd offer the top of the rope. The ushers are in the aisle to serve you. You have the Elijah and the woman at Zarephath. Where the God said is a widow woman. God told her. The Bible said, God, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Elijah was by a brook. And God was feeding him by ravens and feeding him by ravens and he was drinking water out of the brook. He said a famine. God told him a famine is coming. But go to Zarephath because there's a woman that I've commanded to sustain you. When he got to Zarephath, he saw this woman. The woman recognized him. How she recognized him? Because she was trying to renege out of what he told her to do. So when she finally said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and bake this cake. Now the next thing you know, the man of God said, because you decided to bake me a cake first. Now watch this. Watch what happened. Remember I told you now. The kingdom of God. I mean, the apostolic has two purposes. One, to establish the agenda of God and to advance the success of the citizens of the kingdom, right? So here it is. God needed Elijah to stay alive in a famine because Elijah was his mouthpiece to set order in the house, right? This woman from Zarephath who was about to eat her last was going to need something else, was going to need more. So God put the two together so that one, his agenda can be established, and number two, the success of the citizen of that kingdom. Everywhere you look in the Bible, everywhere you look, you see them two processes happening. Everywhere you look. So I don't want you to, and you have to, and this is what you have to ask God. God, if I fully don't understand who Apostle is to me, reveal it to me even more. You got to ask him for it. You say, God, show me what's going on, God. He will. When you ask God something, he's going to give it to you. Well, how? Liberally. If you ask God to show you, he's going to show you, and you're going to start seeing who he is. You're going to start seeing what God is saying. You're going to start seeing keys. You're going to start recognizing apostolic instruction. You know, sometimes apostles will say something, and it might not mean nothing to anybody else, but it might mean something to you. That's a key. But if this is just another Sunday morning, or this is just another Wednesday night, or this is just apostle pronouncing something else, then and you don't recognize what that is, who that is, what's happening to you, the key will pass right by you. You ready? Stand to your feet. Father, thank you for these seeds. Thank you for your system of seed time and harvest. Thank you for being the one that causes increase to take place. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ushers will serve you.